One of the things that I truly love the most about learning the Arabic language is how it unlocks the capacity for reading Arabic travel writings. These writings give us the ability to see how a human being living nearly 1,000 years ago, or in some of the travel writings even more than that, how they saw other humans back then. How an Arab from Baghdad or from Tanja or from Valencia in the case of Ibn Jubayr, how they traveled to another place and actually perceived people of a different culture. That is something which I believe is just such a true gift to the students of the Arabic language and its literature. So in this video, which is the first in our series about the Rihla of Ibn Jubayr, and particularly focusing on his arrival in Mecca and him spending the month of Ramadan in Mecca, and we will read throughout the week, as I've mentioned before, we'll read every Saturday, Monday and Wednesday, another section. And we've designed this so that it lines up with when we start the beginning of Ramadan in real time, is when we'll get to the part when Ibn Jubayr himself starts Ramadan in his journey. And then our Eid will also align with his Eid al-Fitr as well. So we actually get to see his whole journey through the month of Ramadan and describing what it was like in Mecca in 1183 as well. So it's just such exciting stuff. But in this video, I want to give you guys an introduction into who Ibn Jubayr was and a little bit more about his rihla. And we'll also make some reference as well to some of the differences between his rihla and other rihlat literature which have become more famous recently. Particularly the rihla of Ibn Battuta has always been very well known. But then also more recently Ibn Fadlan's description of the Vikings in Russia or Rus. Yeah, that's become more famous as well. And that's actually a text that we study on the Arabic in 60 Steps program as well. There is no doubt that this man is such an influential figure in Arabic history. Speaking of influential figures from Arabic history, don't forget to like this video and comment below as well, because it really helps with the YouTube Al-Khawarizmi. So we'll begin by talking a little bit about himself, and then afterwards we'll talk about his rihla as well. So Ibn Jubayr. Ibn Jubayr is a man who was born in Valencia. Okay, Valencia is a coastal city on the Mediterranean in Spain, modern-day Spain. So he is actually in the era which in Arabic literary history we call the Andalusi era. He was born in 1145, so that puts his rihla at like 840 years ago, right? Because he's 45, and then when he's 38 in the year 1183, is when he actually leaves to go on his rihla, on his journey. So there's a few a few things in the history books about why he actually started his journey, and one of them is that he was forced by a Christian in Valencia to drink 7 cups of wine, and then as like an act of repentance, he goes on this rihla to make the Hajj, right? But a lot of historians have criticized that as it just being kind of like a fabricated, like something just kind of made up, right? That account isn't actually attested to by himself. That's something that you'll find on Wikipedia and stuff as an explanation for his rihla. But that's never quoted in his rihla. Right, and it's actually a text that I know fairly well. I wrote my dissertation on it when I was in Palestine. I wrote a dissertation on his description of the Christians. The actual title of my dissertation, of my Mashrura Takharruj, my dissertation, was Wasf al-Nasara fi Rihlat ibn Jubayr. So it's a text that I know fairly well, and throughout all of it, he never references the reason why he made his trips. So he leaves, when he's 38 years old, in 1183. He actually dies in 1217 or 1218. It's one of those. I get mixed up with the Hijri era as well, but it's in the common era. It's 1218 or 1217. So the reason why I say travels as well is that the rihla which he has the book on isn't the only time when he traveled, right? He actually had this journey where he traveled from Valencia. He traveled all around the Mediterranean, including places like Sicily, around the whole of the Mediterranean, and also made Hajj as well and made Umrah. And but then later he actually had 2 further expeditions as well, but those aren't documented. Because sometimes the timeline gets a little bit fuzzy. Like, he actually died in Alexandria, but he did return home, right? So a lot of the students are like, well, how did he die in Alexandria if the trip is he came all the way home? The answer is he made 2 more trips to the east, and it was on the second one in Alexandria when he died. So what kind of a person was our Ibn Jubayr? Ibn Jubayr is an incredibly well-educated person. Right, like Ibn Jubayr is from a good family in Valencia, and he's well educated. He's well educated in Arabic poetry, and you can see in his rihla, like, it's such an advanced text actually for students of the Arabic language. It's maybe one of the most advanced texts that I've ever read. And this is something that really kind of makes it different from the Rihla of Ibn Fadlan, for example, or the Rihla of Ibn Battuta. I mean, Ibn Battuta, when he sets out on his travels, he's 22, right? And although he's like, Ibn Battuta is well educated in the Maliki school of fiqh and stuff, he is educated. His Rihla isn't like, it's just very descriptive. It's like his own, it's like his own diary, right? But the way the Rihla of Ibn Jubayr is written, it's like it's supposed to be performed. There's actually like poetry in it and stuff as well. And then Ibn Fadlan's is like, Ibn Fadlan was actually sent to describe the Rusiyya by Al-Muqtadir, I believe, was the Khalifa at the time. So he was sent to kind of get a description of these people and who they were. So that, again, it was like documenting something, but Ibn Jubayr wasn't commissioned by someone else or anything to do this. It was entirely like it's like a work of art of his own, his Rihla is. So that's something that's important to bear in mind. In terms of his work, he ended up working under a governor in Granada, I think, or modern day Granada. So the point is, he's well educated. He's very well educated, and his command over Arabic poetry and the Arabic language generally is immense. So, okay, how about his Rihla itself? So I've already mentioned some of the important things that makes it a bit different to Ibn Fadlan's, which was written earlier. I mean, Ibn Fadlan, I believe, is born in like 920 something. So he's like 200 years earlier, right? Slightly more than that. And he's from Iraq. Yes, and then it's different to Ibn Battuta's as well, who's like 100 years later. It's 13 something by the time Ibn Battuta writes. But these three kind of most iconic works of Rihlat literature from the Arabic-speaking world, they all document really important events in the world, right? Like Ibn Fadlan's documenting like early Vikings, which is really interesting for European readers. Ibn Jubayr next, his Rihla lines up with the, it lines up, I think it sort of comes in between the second and the third crusade. I think the second crusade ends in like 1140 something. And then the third crusade begins in like 1190 or 1180, something like just after Ibn Jubayr comes home. So he's describing kind of what the Middle East and what the Mediterranean's like in between crusade invasions. I mean, it's really interesting. And his life also overlaps with Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi, and he even has a chapter in his book on the description of Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi, because he reports to have actually seen him and writes a description of him as well, which is fascinating. And at that time of history as well also has like very cosmopolitan trade and stuff throughout the whole of the Mediterranean. And as I say, it's a time when Sicily is a Muslim-occupied island and stuff too. So there's descriptions of all of those things in his Rihla, which is just fascinating. And then Ibn Battuta's overlaps with Mongol invasions as well. So Ibn Battuta comes very close to actually seeing Mongol invasions and stuff. And he visits some cities like shortly after the Mongols have invaded or shortly before. So he's in that kind of era as well. So we have these Rihlat literature documenting the Vikings, the Crusades, and the Mongols, right? Which is just absolutely fascinating. So as I've mentioned, the dates that we have for Ibn Jubayr's Rihla are 1183 until 1185. It's just those 2 years that he travels. So he leaves his home in like February, right? And a really cool thing actually about his Rihla is that a lot of the dates that he gives are using the Gregorian calendar, which is really helpful for us because that's what we use and that's what we're familiar with. And he uses those because so much of what he documents is around the Mediterranean Ocean. For like seafaring people, it's really important to use that calendar because it aligns with the seasons, right? And obviously, like if you sail, it's important to be in touch with the seasons and stuff and what the oceans are going to be behaving like. So he's almost always using the Gregorian calendar. So yeah, so he leaves in like in February, right? But in that particular year, Ramadan is very late. I think Ramadan starts in like December 25th, actually. I think it actually was that year. So there's like him traveling from Spain to Alexandria, and he comes through Egypt and arrives in Jeddah. That's like how he comes into, that's how he comes to Mecca, comes through Jeddah. And it was actually called Jeddah. He might actually call it Juddah. Actually, no, I can't remember off the top of my head. Yeah, so that's actually his route. So he's traveling between the ages of 38 and 40. Good. And so, yeah, so as I say, like, the Ramadan is late in the Gregorian year that year, right? Which means that he does his Umrah in Ramadan in the year 1183, but he does his Hajj in the year 1184, right? Because it's like a couple of months after. And he spends all of that time in Mecca, right? Like, it looks like the whole rihla is him staying in Mecca for that whole time between the two Eids. Even as a chapter that we'll read together, that's called Bayn al-Eidain, like between the two Eids, like what happened in Mecca between the two Eids. Yeah, I looked up the actual dates actually. So the year 1183 when he leaves aligns with the year year 579 Hijri. And in that year Ramadan fell on December the 25th and Eid was January the 24th in 1184. So that year, Ramadan was 30 fasts in that year. And the first day of Hajj, the first day of Hajj, obviously the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, was the 30th of March, 1184 in that particular year. I suppose I'd like just to kind of end this short introduction to who Ibn Jubayd was and some of the really just amazing things that we'll get into throughout reading Kamil Kilani's rendition of his Rihla. Just imagining what the world was like back then, right? Like, in preparation for the series, I looked up some of the things that would have had an impact on what the Hajj was like then, because now it's just like a Hajj is quite a crazy experience, really. Like, millions of people make Hajj now, right? And like, maybe in the, like, when Ibn Jubayr traveled, right? I looked it up, these estimates, of course, there was only about 440 million people on planet Earth at the time, right? 440 million on the whole of the planet Earth. And like, how few of those people would have had the capacity to travel for Hajj, right? Like, there always would have been foreigners making Hajj, right? Like, I've got no doubt that at this time, the Muslim world is big at this time. Like, it stretches probably to Indonesia and stretches obviously deep into West Africa and stuff. And people were making Hajj from those places. But like, I don't know, is there any way to find out what the attendance of Hajj was like in 1183, when the population of the world was only 440 million, and probably a larger percentage of those were Muslims than what are now, if you know what I mean? Because like, I think a lot of the Christian expansion that exists in the modern world happened like post-colonialism and post like Christopher Columbus and stuff. Like, the whole of the Americas weren't Christians at that point, and like a big chunk of Africa were Christians. There were definitely, obviously, there were Christians way before colonialism, but more of Africa obviously become Christian since then, which is really interesting. So I'll leave a link to where I got some of this data from, by the way, just for the nerds of us who are interested in where they come from. So that's just some really interesting stuff. I'll just round out this introductory episode into who Ibn Jubayd was, why he's so significant, and why I'm so excited to get into this, just by letting you guys know. As of today, there are only 48 workbooks left. That means 48 places left on the Arabic in 60 Steps program. I want to say a huge congratulations to Sarah, who joined today. So she got the 49th book that was left. And there are 48 books now. So thank you so much for joining me. And I believe our very first episode, we'll actually start our reading of the Rihla of Ibn Jubayr. Of course, I have mentioned this, but I'll just emphasize it again. We're not reading Ibn Jubayr's Rihla by his own words. It's such an advanced text. It's a text that for a long time I taught in the Arabic in 60 Steps program as our very final text. And even then, my Arabic teacher put it on me a little bit. And he was like, look, this is like a master's degree level like difficulty text. Like, even for your graduates, it's like, it's a really challenging text. So Kamil Kilani has like his own kind of rendition of it. The same chapter headings, the same topics, the same storyline, the same everything, right? But it's repackaged to be a more accessible story, really. So good. So the very first chapter that we'll do is on page 97. All of the links to the actual texts are in the description below as well, so you can get hold of those. We'll be doing Saliqatul Arab. Saliqatul Arab. What is the Saliqa? It means a couple of things, actually. But we'll save all that good stuff until tomorrow. And then from then, tomorrow, of course, is Wednesday. So we'll be doing our episodes every Wednesday, Saturday, and Monday, 6 p.m. UK time. So I'll see you tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.